Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 102 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her bones. Yeah, you heard me right. Before we begin our wonderful episode, please know that it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix, customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and please rate and review this podcast because I love to hear from you. So bring it on down. We so welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Oh boy, let's see now. Getting down to the bones of it all, fractures and postmenopausal osteoporosis. I don't know about you, but I'm a monster fan of Meredith Vieira. Who doesn't know her? She's a 14-time Emmy Award-winning host, executive producer, and anchor. She's an executive producer of the award-winning documentary Tower. She's hosted and served on as an executive producer on her own nationally syndicated daytime talk show, The Meredith Vieira Show. And obviously, you all know she received critical acclaim for her hosting of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, The Today Show, and of course, The View. She is the founder and CEO of Meredith Vieira Productions, which develops and produces film, television, and theater. Meredith, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so excited. And then, of course, we have with us Dr. Susan Bucata. Now, she is an orthopedic surgeon at UCLA Health Department of Orthopedics. She's a member of the University of California, Los Angeles faculty. And, oh boy, she's a member of the National Osteoporosis Foundation Board of Trustees. So, we have an orthopedic surgeon and we have Meredith Vieira. And we're going to be talking about bones, specifically the silent disease, osteoporosis. Meredith, what got you started in all of this?
Well, you know, for me, this has been a very personal journey. I noticed as a young adult my mom developing what is called a dowager's hump, like a hunchback. And I just assumed that was part of the natural aging process. I would see other older people with that same hunch. I never put that together with tiny fractures of the spine. Then my mom fell, and it was just a slipped on a step and ended up breaking her hip, and she chalked it up to clumsiness, which often happens with postmenopausal women. They have a fracture, and they think, oh, it's my own fault. When I turned 50, my doctor, in examining me, I had, you know, just a regular checkup, and I was already in menopause, just pretty much finishing up, you know, postmenopausal.
Right.
And he looked at my family history, and he's the one who said, I want you to have a bone density test. I wouldn't have suggested it. I didn't know enough about bone health at that point to even think of it. And sure enough, the test results came back, and I have osteopenia, which means I am susceptible to osteoporosis, and it does run in families. So it's highly likely that I will break something along the way, and that will be the indication that I have osteoporosis. So I started to educate myself through my doctor about healthy eating, vitamin D, calcium, about exercise, and just being aware, especially of treatments that are available that weren't available for my mom, like this new one that was just approved by the FDA. And I decided to take off my personal hat for a second and put on my professional reporter's hat. And I thought, gee, I have an ability as a reporter, a journalist, to reach a lot of people. I have this platform. God has given me this great gift, and I want to use it to educate people so that folks understand what osteoporosis is, the connection between osteoporosis and also fractures. And this statistic alone is the reason I'm here. One out of every two postmenopausal women will suffer an osteoporosis-related fracture in their remaining lifetime. That's half of us. And I still think women are not educated about this and not proactive in their health. And as I was not proactive either. So I want to get the word out.
Wow. I mean, and the numbers themselves absolutely blow you away. I mean, only 2 in 10 older women in the United States who suffer from a fracture are subsequently tested or even treated for osteoporosis. So, wow. And here was another statistic that is mind-blowing. Wake up out there in her podcast land. Listen to this one. Osteoporosis-related fractures cause more women 55 and older to be hospitalized each year in the United States than breast cancer, heart attacks, or stroke. I mean, it's a big, big thing. And then I think a lot of women don't even realize that, you know, once you've experienced your first osteoporotic fracture, your risk of another fracture is, get this, 5 times higher, especially in the first year. Oh, God. I mean, it's a silent deal, right? Until all of a sudden, one day, there you are with a broken wrist. Is that right?
That is definitely the case, in that patients don't realize. They have a fall, they think, oh, wow, I was clumsy just like Meredith's mom, and they wind up with a fracture, and they don't make the association with the disease of osteoporosis. And unfortunately, many physicians also don't make the connection with the disease of osteoporosis. They also don't realize that we have things that can help prevent future fractures, and that intervention early after these fractures is extremely important.
Well, you know, the other thing too, you know, going back a second, Meredith, I heard you say that your doctor said, okay, now, you know, it's really important that you get that. I assume you got a DEXA scan.
Exactly.
How many, really, what is the standard practice out there? Are doctors thinking about this? And if so, at what age of a woman are they actually beginning to get DEXA? So either one of you can answer however you want to do that.
So the guidelines for DEXA scan vary with age and vary with what we call risk factors. So all women over age 65 and should get a bone density scan, a DEXA scan, if they have not already had one. Starting at age 50, though, or really when you start menopause, if you have risk factors, and included in these risk factors are you having a personal history of a fracture that happens from a fall, from really standing height or less, or one of your parents having a fracture like that, or having other diseases that increase your risk of developing osteoporosis at a young age, you should start to get your bone density scans at the time of menopause or in your 50s. And that is partially what creates some of the confusions for patients and for doctors. And I can tell you, as a young woman approaching 50 myself, it just doesn't connect with me, osteoporosis and someone in my age group, because you think of it as an older person's disease. But yet I have many friends who are now getting these wrist fractures, and we need to start thinking about what's going to happen to us as we age.
Yeah, you know, my wake-up call was my own mother. So, Meredith, you and I have a lot in common there. My mother has already passed, and magnificent health all of her life, very active, tall, slender, fair skin, red hair, and Dr. Bukata and I are both shaking our head saying, yep, just about every risk factor right there. So she's sort of the poster child in many respects. And, you know, it was quite horrific for me to watch what happened to her. You know, she lost almost 5 inches in height. She's tall like me, 5'9". And in those days, they just didn't address these things. They didn't have medicines. They didn't understand the role of nutrition and exercise, you know, supplements, all the rest of it. And unfortunately, there you have it. And it really affected me. So I began to get my DEXAs early on. And thank heavens, I've been physically active. I'm a triathlete. And so I lift weights. I do all those things. And because I can't get the vision of what happened to her out of my mind. And I think Governor Richardson said the same thing about her mom. And that was one of the things that got her, you know, later in life, lifting weights and trying to be more physically active and address that too. So I think a lot of women out there really need to hear why this is so terribly, terribly important. What did you actually change in your life, Meredith, when you got your DEXA results back? You said you did some changes. What did you do?
Well, I just began to pay attention, something I hadn't done before. I'm not a triathlete, but I've always been somebody who exercises a lot and was always pretty good about my diet in terms of getting a lot of calcium and D, and my dad was a general practitioner, so I knew some of that stuff, but I was never thinking about it in the sense of how fragile bones can be and having a history of bone disease, all of those things that were presented to me by my doctor when I had that bone density test. So it's just, for me, it was more be aware of this, be on top of this, make sure you continue to eat healthy, make sure you continue to exercise, don't stop that. You know, I think of it as, it's so funny, if this were a structure, just a building, and the bones of that building aren't good, the thing's going to collapse. Well, we are just a structure, and if our bones are brittle, everything else will fall. So I just began thinking like that a lot. It was almost for me like my mantra moving forward. And it also, in terms of sort of nudging my friends to think about it too. And I got a lot of looks from people, you know, particularly the age of 50, oh, please. Sort of like Dr. Picado was talking about, you don't think you're old enough for this disease. I was convincing friends to talk about it and to talk to their doctors. Don't wait for a doctor to initiate the conversation, because Dr. Picado might, but another doctor might never bring it up. So you have to be aware of it. It's really about taking control of your health for me.
I love it, and it's very empowering. And as I always say, as a physician, you've got to be your own best advocate.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to be, you know what I'm saying? I mean, fight for yourself. And the reason why I brought up that DEXA thing is, quite frankly, a lot of women are not being told this. And Dr. Bacata and I will probably just sit here and nod our head and say, yeah, you know, like, let me wipe the shock off my face. But, you know, that's why a woman's got to walk in and say, excuse me, but. I look at my age right now, look at my family history. I really want to get a DEXA. And the nice thing is, I think I read a really cute rendition, Meredith, of you having your first DEXA. You weren't quite sure what was going on. And you asked, I think, the technician, you know, where do I take my clothes off and whatever. And you don't have to do anything. You just lay there on
nothing.
That little table.
It's painless. It's fast. It's easy. And the results could change your life. So it's
absolutely
something that everybody at a certain age should do. Certainly talk to the doctor. I even talked to my daughter, Lily, is 24, and I have these conversations with her because we do have it in our family. And I want her to be aware. And, I mean, sometimes she kind of rolls her arms like, oh, Mom, not the bone thing again. But I don't really care, you know. I just bring it up. And I definitely want it on her radar screen as a young woman while she is still building bone.
Okay, now speaking of building bone, Meredith, first tell me what you do for physical activity, keeping in the back of your mind that you want to really stay on top of this in terms of prevention and treatment, right? And then, Dr. Bacata, can you kind of, you know, do the follow-up on what is the current state of the state out there for physical activity? So, Meredith, what do you do?
I do, I like to say I run, but it works out to more of a jog, I think. I mean, in my own little head, I'm running. And I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of hiking, which is probably my favorite thing. I like to be outdoors, and I like the solitude of it. So it has a lot of benefits, actually, for me, something like hiking. I do aerobic exercise. I try to change it up. I work with light weights. I don't really do heavy weights. I tried actually doing some of that CrossFit at one point. I found that didn't work for me. So I think everybody has to find what is good for them. I'm sure there are some exercises that are better for bone health than others, and Dr. Picotta can to speak to that. But I keep trying to change it up and explore what I feel works and what I will continue to do. That's the thing.
And
so many people start an exercise program and then they quit.
Track with that. because it's important to find things that you will stick with. And you hit it exactly. It's all of your bones in your body. So you do have to think about light weights with your arms. And that's something that people forget. People constantly hear, go walk. Well, you can walk. You can hike. You can do a light jog. You can do some of these classes like CrossFit. And all of those things will help to maintain the strength of your bone. We wish that alone would help to prevent osteoporosis and help to prevent fracture. And it doesn't as we get older. But it certainly helps to keep our bones as strong as we possibly can have them at any given age. And it helps us to stay coordinated and prevent falls.
Well, Dr. Bacata, what is the absolute ideal exercise to be able to give the optimal stimulus to be able to do your bone building?
So it would be great if we could tell you exactly what that is. But it doesn't seem to be just one exercise. It's about being up on your feet at least about 30 minutes a day in order to give exercise to your bones in your legs. And then at least a few times a week using light weights in your arms in order to give exercise to the bones in your arms. And we think of the gym, but even everyday activities, parking further away in the parking lot and walking into the store rather than pulling right up front. Most women I know carry a purse that certainly qualifies as a lightweight. Having it in your hands, switching, lifting up and down with things, really taking a conscious effort to put a little bit of stress onto those bones and make them work to reinforce themselves. And the good news, because there isn't just one exercise that does it, just as Meredith said, find the thing that you like to do. There's nothing that shows that hiking is not as good as walking, or that walking is any better than some of the other activities. It's about getting up on your feet and being active.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Gretchen Reynolds, who is our wonderful New York Times physical education, as it were, writer, did a column about, oh, good grief, 5 months ago or so. And it was really quite provocative. And she said the latest research showed that everything that Meredith is doing is great. No question about it. Meredith, A+. Especially, interestingly, the jogging part of this. Now, this new research actually showed that whereas we have known that weightlifting, and again, you don't have to lift a building, just learning to do some strength training, even just using body weight, and you don't even ever have to see the inside of a gym, is extremely important and stimulates that bony cortex. But hopping, stomping, jumping, a kind of exercises where you kind of take it to a higher level, actually are really, really stimulating to the bony cortex. And I found that to be quite fascinating. So immediately I ran out and got a trampoline. And there I am jumping on my little trampoline, only to find out that that wasn't good enough. I really needed to have more impact. And so that was fascinating. So the jogging does that, no question. And I think it's important that Meredith said jogging, and you don't have to be running, you know, Olympic marathons or something. What you need to be doing is just taking your body weight and really, for all intent and purposes, just doing kind of some stomping in place or dancing in place or a little bit of jumping in place, depending upon how your knees and the rest of your joints work. Does that make sense, Susan?
So, well, we've known for a very long time in young adults, particularly when you're in your teens and your 20s and you still have growth hormone, that those higher impact activities like jumping and stomping can help you to gain bone mass. Part of the issue with those exercises is we lose growth hormone once we get into our 30s and get older. And they haven't really been shown to make a tremendous difference with that higher impact in the overall bone mass. However, if you're able to do that, because what we know what it does with younger patients, we encourage people to do that, to give that little bit of the extra mechanical load. But many patients, as you get older, you develop arthritis. When you stomp or you jump or even using the trampoline, there are issues with balance and being able to do the exercise on a regular basis comfortably. And so, you know, we really want patients to get up and move. But many patients can't jog, can't run, and that can be very bad for their joints. So, you know, if you find a class that you like and it does involve some stomping, things like Zumba, because there is a little bit of that that goes with it, we encourage patients to do. But the most important thing is for you to get up on your feet and exercise and use your arms and to find those things that sort of fit your comfort level best.
You know, and Dr. Picotto, you mentioned balance. I'm going to be 64 in December, and my balance isn't what it used to be. And if you're off balance at all, you're more likely to fall. And then if you are susceptible to fracture, probably you will break something. So I think it's also good to incorporate things like something I've just started and I actually really like, I didn't think I would, is yoga and also Pilates. Things that involve stretching and balance exercises, I think, are equally important.
And Tai Chi
has been shown over and over again in studies
to actually help to improve balance as well in patients of all ages and be involved with fall prevention. So you're absolutely right. You have to think broadly in the type of exercises that can help you.
Well, the other thing, too, is that in the exercise world, we now talk about functional exercise.
Yeah.
Right? So it's no longer about just doing those three sets of how many reps and all the rest of it. It's more like what kind of a mix of use of your body will optimize your ability to be able to get out there and just plain survive. So when you're stronger, you won't fall down. Because you'll be able to right yourself appropriately. Why? Because your thigh muscles, your quads, and your pelvic girdle is much stronger. And so if you do feel like falling, you'll have that capacity to right yourself quickly and avoid that terrific fall. Another thing you might want to try, Meredith, and it's kind of fun if you have a little, you know, fitness area in your home, is a Bosu ball. It's a BOSU ball. It's like a little half moon, and it's,
I have one. They're
rubberized.
Great.
Oh, it's the best. It's
when you
best.
Stand on that and then try to do either squats or whatever, if you're using some weights, because you're constantly off balance.
Absolutely. And it's fantastic to maintain the integrity of your joints. So when you just stand in the middle of it, right, and on one leg and let that one ankle do all the tricks and the knee and the rest of it. Oh, boy. And, you know, we're not talking about for an hour and a half. We're just, you know, whatever you can do is perfectly fine. And obviously do it safely under the guidance of appropriate people who can show you form. But and then there's the balance board. That's another one that's cheap, accessible. You could do at home, just a simple board that just goes back and forth it gives you another chance to be able to help continue to strengthen. And you're so right, Meredith. You know, that whole thing with yoga and the rest of it, flexibility, core strength is powerful, especially to maintain that nice spinal column in an upright and not allow it to collapse at all. So it's really, really important to stay on top of that. So, Dr. Bacata, you mentioned, you and Meredith both mentioned vitamin D. And I think that we all know now that vitamin D is absolutely powerful in its ability to help us absorb calcium and really maintain our bony integrity. I personally have found that not enough physicians are getting vitamin D levels. And we now know globally, not just in the United States, that vitamin D levels are treacherously low in a large segment of our population. And so I think it's just really important to get them. What do you experience from your end as you're recommending?
So I absolutely agree with you that vitamin D is essential for bone health. It does help you in the absorption of calcium. It also helps in the maintenance of your bone cells and getting them to do what they need to do to help keep your bones strong. Again, vitamin D alone is not enough to prevent fracture that is associated with osteoporosis. But if we don't have enough vitamin D, you can increase your risk of developing fracture. I have always been a strong proponent about getting a vitamin D level. Same thing with getting a DEXA. Know where your baseline is. Know where your bone strength is. Know what your vitamin D level is. And to work to try to get it into the normal range. Even in Southern California, many patients have low vitamin D levels, and we have to put them on supplements in order to help them get into that range, which is optimal for their bones.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I think a lot of people, including yours truly here, thought that just because I'm a little smarty pants and I'm out there, you know, in the sun, and of course I SPF and everything, but, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, surely there's enough skin exposure here to, you know, keep me way up there. And then when the research started coming out about 10 years ago that a lower vitamin D was not only dangerous for bony health, but also vitamin D turns out to be quite the little anti-neoplastin. In other words, it helps you with a variety of cancers, and this was an ovarian cancer study. Well, lo and behold, my vitamin D was right down near my ankles, and I had no idea. So I take vitamin D supplements every day, and I monitor my levels, and I encourage women out there to please do the same. Please know what your baseline is. So Dr. Bacata, you know, you and I are basically on the same page on that. Let me ask you another question. A number of women, knowing that Meredith and you were going to be on the show, were all excited, and they said, we heard that if you take estrogen, like an estrogen patch, that estrogen itself is good for bony health. What do you think?
So, you know, there are multiple treatments that can help with preventing bone loss and with fracture prevention. And it's important for patients to talk with their doctors about what the choices are. The newly FDA-approved medication, Tymlos, which is an anabolic treatment for osteoporosis and has been shown, and anabolics have been shown to help rebuild bone, is one of those choices as well. And it's really important for patients to talk with their doctors because every medication can have benefits and sometimes can have side effects. So, for example, Tymlos can have the side effects including dizziness and higher levels of urine calcium. You know, even serious side effects can occur. For Tymlos, there's the possibility of bone cancer. However, it is unknown if it will cause it in people. And it's important, whatever you choose, whether it's estrogen or some of the other anti-resorptive treatments that are there or an anabolic agent like Tymlos, to talk with your doctor and talk about the potential benefits of the medication and the potential side effects. We do know, though, that these medications help to prevent fractures. They help to decrease the risk of developing a fracture, and they help to keep the bones stronger. So it's extremely important for women to talk to their doctors if they are at risk for osteoporosis, get that diagnosis, and look at treatment options.
And I'll agree with you that there even are treatments out there. I mean, I wish there had been treatments when my mom and your mom developed the disease.
Yeah, well, you know, my mother actually, you know, when I sat down with her and talked to her about this, because it was a tough subject, it was so hard, you know, you live such a healthy life. Now, she lived into her 90s, so God bless. You know, she had taken the biphosphonates, and she had also taken some of the early medications that were once yearly, et cetera. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of that wasn't well tolerated by her, and I she also had very, very, very severe osteoporosis. I mean, both hips, both knees, both wrists, I could go on. It was very, very tough. And so knowing that these new medications are coming out and that patients really should have a conversation with their physician about, you know, what these options are, is extremely important today, so we could really avail ourselves of that. I've got one last question here, and that is, when does a woman expect to start a medication? You mentioned, Dr. Bacata, that a woman who's wanting to prevent osteoporosis. So are you saying that as soon as a woman is diagnosed with osteopenia, that meaning that she's decreasing the amount of calcium in her bones, but she hasn't hit osteoporosis yet, is that when she begins medication, or does she wait until she falls into the osteoporosis range?
So this is part of what causes the confusion with osteoporosis, because we have to remember that osteoporosis is a disease. And really what I said is a woman wants to prevent fracture, and we associate fracture with the disease of osteoporosis. The bone density scan gives us a measurement, and think of it like a shoe size. You can have a small or a medium or a large shoe size. And osteopenia just tells us that you have a medium amount of bone. If you get a measurement of osteoporosis on a bone density scan, a DEXA, and that's really a small quantity of bone mineral, and it tells us that you're at high risk for developing the disease of osteoporosis. The disease of osteoporosis depends on more than just the bone mineral, though. It depends on multiple other factors that help to make your bones strong. And so many women fracture who have bone density measurements that are in that medium, that osteopenic range, and it's other factors, quality factors, that's like everything as we age start to unravel and make our bones weaker, that cause us to have the disease of osteoporosis. So it's really important for us to think about treatments as preventing fracture. We want to maintain bone mass because that's important for maintaining strength of our bones and helping to prevent fracture, but it's not the only factor that helps to prevent fractures. Each patient is different. So you really need to talk to your doctor about when the timing of treatment is right for you.
You know, here's an interesting question that one of our listeners had sent me once, and she said, is it possible to build back bone once you've lost it? So let's just say you're osteopenic. Is it possible to build back bone?
So the answer to that is yes. And that is what an agent like Tymlos is. It's an anabolic agent, and anabolic agents have been shown to help you to build new bone. Once we're older, once we're past having growth hormone, we're done building and originally growing our skeleton, we can't build back bone in sort of the most natural way. But agents like Tymlos, which are anabolics, can help us to build back bone, to fix holes that we've made in the bone and to add layers of bone to it.
Wow. Okay. So there is hope, really, is what we're talking about. And I think that we as physicians are always looking for that. Meredith, what's your last little bit of wit and wisdom that we always love to hear from you about this whole thing and your journey with this?
Well, you know, whether we like it or not, we're all getting older, and I like to think of it as, a positive thing, just in what I've learned about life and appreciating it and looking forward to how many years I have on this earth being as healthy as possible. Because, you know what, I'd rather get older than the alternative. So I want to do it in the most graceful and healthy way possible. And I want all women, men and women, but I'm really speaking to women out there, to just take control. Take control of your life, because damn it, you're worth it. And if, you know, arm yourself with knowledge. Go to bonenews.com and learn all about bone health, and then have that conversation. Have it with your girlfriends, have it with your daughters, have it with your moms, and have it with your doctor, so that you are doing all you possibly can to ensure that all these wonderful years ahead of you will be truly wonderful and healthy ones.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic. I mean, said in a way that only Meredith can say. I mean, it's said from the heart, and I think all of us can hear that, especially since it's so personal for you. And it really strikes a major chord with me as I'm thinking about my next little jog out there and jogging my bones and and really trying to optimize my own bone health. Well, everyone out there in her podcast land, we've been talking to the one and only Meredith Vieira about osteoporosis and Dr. Susan Bucata from the National Osteoporosis Foundation Board of Trustees. I want to personally thank both of you for sharing all of this information, because you know something? I know for a natural fact, it's changed at least one woman's life out there.
And you know what? I think our moms are looking down on us right now and saying, way to go.
You know something? Or as my mom would say, you go, girl, you know.
Exactly.
Thank you for having us.
Both of you. You guys are just wonderful, and keep up the marvelous messaging, God knows we need it. And everyone out there in her podcast land, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And just take a moment to rate and review this marvelous podcast with Meredith Vieira on iTunes. Because, hey, I want to hear all about it from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening. And stay well.